And all of a sudden, he reacts. And he starts reacting without love, and that offends you. And next thing you know, that thing just gets spinning around and around and around. And next thing you know, you just can't imagine living with this guy. And he's feeling the very same way. I can't imagine living with this woman. And it spins you off like a merry-go-round. It's going faster and faster and faster, and off you go. We've all been there, haven't we? That crazy cycle can only be broken by someone who will take the initiative and believe the energizing cycle. And the energizing cycle is this. His love does motivate your respect, doesn't it? And so as he loves, which is exactly what this passage says in Ephesians 5, as he loves you like Christ loved the church, it motivates you to respect him. And then that motivates him to love you more. It's just like a cycle. And it'll also get going faster and faster, and you want to learn how... Everybody's going to get on the crazy cycle. The question is this. How quick can you get off? Whereas before, maybe you went around 100 times, that you're growing and learning to get off of it by the 10th time or the 5th time. And what will happen is this. The one that first recognizes they're on the crazy cycle and goes into saying, oh yeah, his need, what the reason he's responding right now is because he feels like he's not been respected. If I will respect him, it will stop the crazy cycle. And he'll respond with love, the kind of love I'm looking for. It's only a matter of time. Or the man, if he recognizes it, say, oh, she's reacting to me disrespectful because I'm not loving her with the love of Christ. I'm not meeting her needs in some way. Now, here's what it comes down to. What it comes down to is who's going to take the first step? Well, I'll tell you who takes the first step. The one who's the most mature will take the first step. At that particular point, the one who is the most mature will take the first step. Now, here's what you'll watch about a husband. And this is where we're very, very different. You start getting into the crazy cycle, and here's what the husband will do, because it is a code of honor among men that you don't get in a face-to-face conflict with a man. You walk away. It's just, we just know that if a man comes at me face-to-face and he starts putting me down or criticizing me, it's a code. We know this. I've got an enemy on my hands. I don't have just another man. I have an enemy. It's just, there's just something, but we know this as men. But here's the interesting thing about a woman. When she sees there's a problem, what do you ladies do?
Get in his face.
That's right. That's exactly right. You confront. I mean, but see, now think about it. It's okay. The only thing is, see, for a woman, she can't imagine why he's running. Because she loves him. And because she loves him, she wants this worked out. And she is pursuing in order to reconcile and settle this, because she so needs his love. The only problem is, in his world, that's not how you do it. In fact, in his world, that's just the opposite. In his world, if somebody does that, they've got an enemy on their hands. And the code in a man is this: we're going to kill each other if one of us doesn't walk away. And I'm going to do the honorable thing here and save their face, save their reputation, and I'm going to turn and walk away from this situation. Now, when your husband does that with you, you think he's a coward. Or you think he's weak-willed and weak-spined. Or you think he's stonewalling you. He doesn't really love and care. And if he really loved and cared for you, he would sit right there and just take it if he was really a man. But you just need to understand we're different. And in our world that we live in, we don't do that to a man. We will speak very straightforward to each other as men, and we can say things that can go right to the heart, but we will not do it until we've established respect. And once that's established, we realize we have permission and we can go there. But even when we go there very carefully, unless we're an enemy, you know, unless we've been offended, really offended, and we're going after to cut their throats. If we don't care about them at all, and we want to wipe them out, then man, we go at them, and we'll just go there. We're going to conquer and kill. That's in us. But most of us know, we've learned that in the world of men, you don't do that. So you understand, that's your husband's initial response. It's not that he doesn't love you. It's not that he doesn't care. But the point is this. You can get on this crazy cycle, and here's the thing. If you recognize this crazy cycle, and it is a part of your lives, stop and think about this. If you don't change what you're doing, what's going to happen? You're going to get the same results. You've got to change something. And the husband, too, I'm not saying he's not responsible, he is, but I'm not talking to your husbands right now. I'm talking to you ladies. And I don't know and here's the interesting thing about the Lord. At different times, one of you is more mature than at other times. Have you found that to be true? That sometimes you're the one that's more mature and you realize you're not respecting your husband. You can tell. And by the way, here's how you can tell. Picture a balloon deflating. When you see your husband's spirit deflate, you can count on it, you're on his air hose. Get off his air hose. Just stop and look back at what you said or how you said it, your tone of voice, or what you implied, and you will find that at some point in his language, the language of respect, you spoke the opposite. And you actually, like we talked about, this is going to be a strong word, but ladies that were there Sunday, you know what I'm talking about. You have become a devil. A devil, the word devil is speaking of Judas in John chapter 6, which we've been studying, where Jesus says, did I not myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? And he says, and he was speaking of Judas who betrayed him. How did Judas betray Jesus? With a kiss. How else did he betray him? He gave aid to the enemy by going to Jesus' enemy and giving them something that would help the enemy destroy Jesus. Have you ever done that? The very thing that your husband lives for is your respect. It's why he married you. You communicated that respect before you got married, or you wouldn't be married. And he thought he was going to get that the rest of his life. Just like when you married him, you thought he loved you. And you were going to get that the rest of your life. Unconditional love. The fact of the matter is, we can each do this, husbands and wives. That you need to understand that when you give aid to the enemy and you do not respect your husband and you bring up all the things that you see that he's unworthy of respect and you see what's wrong with him, and I'm not excusing any of those things. Please understand me, ladies. We've got our issues. But when that respect is not there, that's why this is in this passage, these two passages. You are aiding and abetting the enemy to destroy your husband as a spiritual leader and to destroy his love for you. Do you want that? I'm sure you don't. That's why this is such good news, to understand how important it is. Now, what's the basis then? If your husband's not worthy of it, which he isn't, And is he childish and boyish-like and doesn't know how to communicate and all those things? Yeah, probably. That may be true, which just like, by the way, as I share with men, and boy, can men relate to this. I had two translators when I was in Tanzania. One was David Tarus and one was Lukinya. One was 40, one was 36. The man that was 36 had been called out by his fathers and trained to be a man. And that was David Tarus. In fact, it was quite a training. It was unbelievable when he told me about it. Lukinya, in his tribe in Kenya, the older generation of fathers did not have any communication to their sons in terms of preparing them for life. They just let them kind of be their independent culture, independent generation, just like has happened in the States for many, many years now. And I had been there in Tanzania speaking to this tribe that had put away calling out their sons, but used to have it about 50 years ago, so the fathers still had a remembrance of it. And so we were trying to reinstitute that, except in a Christian way. And so as I was telling about this, David Tarus, we get to talking, and he says, oh, that happened to me. And he began to tell about what the fathers did, his own fathers, as well as the men of his tribe, how they trained and prepared him. And I had talked to Lukinya at another time, and I said to him, well, you know, Lukinya, that didn't happen to him. And David said, this is so insightful. He said, he's still a boy. I said, but he's 40 years old. He's, you know, you're 4 years younger than he is. He says, I know, but he's still a boy. He's never been trained. He doesn't know what he can do and can't do. He's not really been tested. He doesn't know and wasn't trained to be a man. And so he's having to learn the hard way. But yet he's still trying to do the responsibilities of a man. He's taking apart the car engine with the kitchen knife.